Back to my normal, kind of, not really. That's totally a lie, actually. I don't know why I said that. For these next 4 hours, I am back to my normal modus operandi. But it's not going to last very long because I'm out the rest of the week. And what are the chances people are going to start whispering, complaining, reaching out to me, asking if I'm making the transition to afternoons? Oh, my goodness. You guys always jump into conclusions. Whenever I'm out, people assume I've been fired. And now because I've done a couple of daytime shows, it must be because I'm auditioning for something different. Hell no. I am not leaving what I love, which is After Hours. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Thank you so much for all of your compliments. You are very kind. Those of you who caught me on TV and felt the need to send me a photo of myself with my mouth open on a screen, I appreciate that too. I did share a photo of my own just as a thank you. So I really appreciate those of you who not only watched on TV, but listened during the daytime on the radio. I heard from some of our regular listeners who were walking around with their headphones during the daytime. My mom first listened on her phone and then found it all by herself on TV. That's a big deal for my mom. She was very proud of herself. Turned on the TV, found the TV guide, and saw me in the corner. They give this little preview corner when you're on a particular channel on her TV guide, and she actually saw me. That's how she knew, because then the little box popped up in the corner, and it was me. So that's how she knew that it was the right channel. I'm so proud of her. So I had a bunch of family that listened all over the country. And I did think about my Grammy Helen multiple times and how much she would have enjoyed and laughed at me on TV and how much we would have had fun talking about it. And so I was sad about that because she would have been so thrilled not only to see me but to tell all of her friends at her villa about the fact that her granddaughter was on TV. She loved to brag about me when I was there. And I finally said, Grammy, stop telling people what I do for a living. I don't know why it mattered. They're a bunch of 90-year-olds. Who cares, right? But she was always so proud of the fact, even though she didn't quite know what I did, she was proud of the fact that I did radio and TV, mostly because of how much I loved it and because they were dreams come true for me. So I shared that with my aunt, and she said, she was watching, I'm sure of it, which I probably started crying. So, yeah, it was an opportunity to think about Grammy Helen, and I wish I could have shared with her about getting my makeup done and talking with my hands and making funny faces on TV. But thank you, because you watched, you tuned in, and you cheered for me, and I really appreciate it. A couple of clips on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as photo, and try to put that up on Facebook here in a little bit, though I'm kind of mad at you guys on Facebook because you just don't read. I'm like, seriously. 300 comments, and I would say half of them just were completely clueless. But you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything if you're concerned that I might be leaving After Hours anytime soon. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's toll free, 855-212-4CBS. Thumbs up or thumbs down, we can bring back part of that Bryant McFadden interview next. Okay, so we'll do that. A little bit of QB news. As a precursor, we'll do a full QB news a little bit later this hour, but an opportunity to pick the brain of a former NFL defensive back who looked at QBs, quarterbacks, through a different lens. So it was fun to catch up with Bryant McFadden. Also, I love Mike Tomlin. What? I know that's such a surprise. After the Steelers used all three of their quarterbacks, including the rookie Kenny Pickett, in their first preseason game, we got a very unique assessment from Mike Tomlin. And I mean, there is no one else in the NFL who would evaluate his quarterbacks quite like this.
I could say the same thing about all three, to be honest with you. They moved their units.
I actually read the quote before I heard it.
They moved their units.
And I came into work on Monday afternoon and said, we have to grab this Mike Tomlin assessment of his quarterbacks. They moved their units. Yes. Yes, they did. This is one of my biggest takeaways from the opening weekend of the preseason games. I'm pretty sure Kenny Pickett's going to take over sooner rather than later. I don't think he's going to start. He's probably not there yet. But the excitement, the energy that he brings to the table, the way the fans are all about Kenny Pickett.
It gives you that tingle.
Certainly has so far to this point. And Mike Tomlin, even though he's tried to be relatively diplomatic about it, all three quarterbacks are viable. They've all moved their units. I can't even say it with a straight face.
They moved their units.
What stands out to me is how complimentary he is of Pickett's demeanor and that nothing flummoxes him, that he doesn't get over his skis, so to speak.
I don't fear sudden death.
Do you know who else said that about a rookie quarterback recently? Bill Belichick with Mac Jones last year. Again, I don't believe that Pickett is going to start out of the gate. That would shock me. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Pickett starting this season. Mason Rudolph, if he was going to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers would know it by now. We would know it by now. What is this, his fourth year backing up? Well, back now it's not Ben anymore, but backing up Trubisky. And Trubisky may start. And that's part of my conversation with Brian McFadden, CBS Sports HQ, and the All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson, is that he says in Mitch we trust, and he explains why. So you'll hear that coming up in 15 minutes. Yes, for now. For now. It's a fluid and transient situation when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL because they all move their units.
They move their units.
And he says it with the straightest face on the planet Earth. I love Mike Tomlin. I'm so glad there are not more of him because I want him to be unique. But at the same time, I wish every coach was like him.
They move their units.
And he sees absolutely nothing comical about that at all. That's the great part. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy. I noticed, I don't know why. Maybe it's because producer Jay has got you guys in a trance. We talked about it, that our YouTube numbers continue to climb. And Jay tells me we've hit a milestone with our YouTube channel,
yes.
Which is?
250,000 total views. Pretty good.
Is that good?
YouTube told me it was good. So
YouTube told you it was good.
They had a little star with a face on it.
No
and it was
way.
Like, great job. You
they
unlocked
sent,
an achievement.
They
I was like,
sent
sweet.
You a star? A gold
yeah.
star?
They didn't send it. It was on the page. It was like in like the top right corner. But yeah, it was. I liked it. It was tasteful.
It's good. It was tasteful.
It was a nice touch. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I did see a question from someone on Facebook recently about what's our next video and what are we doing to follow up on our latest. Now, we've noticed that you're starting to pay more attention to the Ask Amy Anything video version that we did from a park in Lower Manhattan. That was our red, white, and blue edition. The numbers they've really been fruitful and multiplied over the last week. I think in large part because when you were gallivanting and I did Ask Amy solo, I was referring people to the YouTube channel. Our latest video is not from a park, but it is from a parking lot, and it features Princess Leia. She's amazing. Jay's car is named Jazzy. That's also been
Jazzy now.
Oh, it was Jazz before.
We shortened it. We get our nickname already.
Oh, it's Jasmine, Jazzy, Jazz.
I don't know. It's not. That's like it's kind of what de facto name at this point.
Well, if you're not going to name your car, I'm going to.
So it's Jazzy then.
It's
I like
Jazz.
Jazzy more than Jasmine actually.
All right, so it's Jazzy. He only told me it was a female, and so I came up with a name because I couldn't stand that the poor girl didn't have a name. Anyway, our latest episode in our Stairway to Seven series is Junk in the Trunk. I just want you to know that my trunk doesn't actually have any junk in it. So you can
watch the video.
You can check out the video. Jay, because he knows I'm so mortified at what's in his trunk, he's now making jokes about it just to give me the creepies. But yeah, you're not going to believe what's in Jay's trunk that I dug up.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing at all.
I've seen a lot of trunks. I've never seen anyone with the two items that you, well, the one item specifically that you have in your trunk, ever.
Very normal item to have in your trunk.
It is. Ew. No, it's not.
It totally is.
It's
nothing
disgusting.
Grows about it.
It's probably got things growing on it.
No, not yet.
In it.
Not yet.
There could be a spider that's laid eggs.
There might. There could.
Oh, gross.
There could. There's been an influx of spiders in my car, I feel like, lately. On it.
That's where they're coming from. I'm telling you, that's where they're coming from.
It's a possibility.
A spider laid eggs in that thing. Anyway.
Now I'm mortified to get back in my car.
Well, you should be mortified to use that. Anyway, you've got to check it out. You will know exactly what I'm talking about by my facial expressions and the fact that I can't stop saying gross. So, the
Nazi
latest...
a problem.
You're gross. Stop it.
There we go.
No, that's not true. I don't think that. I am stunned by what I pulled out of his trunk. Anyway, you can find that on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and it's the latest episode of our Stairway to Seven. And so someone asked, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? I feel like we need something with a football theme.
Yeah, very much so. Something with a football theme. It could be an Ask Amy football theme.
Another video version of Ask Amy?
Well, we haven't done, what, two videos now since the last one?
No, just one. Stairway to Seven.
Up. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, could be an Ask Amy. You've done the spiral, so you know how to throw a spiral. Maybe we can do like a field goal challenge. I don't know where we'd find
you
that.
You can do a field goal challenge.
I can't. Could probably hit like a 5-yard
field goal.
Why are
you going to parade me out there to make a fool of myself?
We can both go, I guess, and see who can hit the longer field goal. Just on the spot. Not the worst
idea. Or I could put you in a dunk tank and we can dunk you.
We could.
We
you
should
can
go to
those.
The state fair. Can we please go to the state fair?
I don't think New York has a state fair.
Of course, New York.
County
New York
fair.
Has a state fair. It's upstate. Oh.
Oh.
There goes the ball.
That's the dunk tank practice.
It's upstate New York. Oh, would you like to let me practice on your head? I'll practice on your head. I don't know why I'm so aggressive right now. It's a little extra when it comes to throwing the ball at Jay's head. I don't know why.
Thank goodness for the glass here.
The double pane glass, actually. I'm not sure if I could break it, but it would be fun to try right now. Last Friday, I went to the golf course near my house, and I asked for 3 buckets of golf balls at the driving range, and the young guy said to me, 3?
That's a lot.
And I was like, yep, I've got a bunch of stuff I need to work out. I'm telling you what, by the time I hit 150 golf balls, every muscle in my body was sore, and I had worked it all out. Let me just tell you. I was sore for 2 days after hitting 150 golf balls that way.
I usually, the large bucket, the one by me, the driving range by me, I think is 75 or 80 balls. And after that, I'm okay. That's
You're
enough
spent.
Golf balls for the day. 150
wow. golf balls yeah. I hit. By the time, and I didn't take very many practice swings, a few, but by the time I got done,
150 of them.
I was, and then I went running the next morning. So yeah, all weekend I spent,
arms, legs.
I spent feeling old. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Are you ready for my train story?
Of course.
Okay. You're not going to believe this. I still can't believe this. This only happens in New York City. And I hadn't been on the train in quite a while. But because I had to host for Maggie and Perloff on Monday and Tuesday, I took the train into New York. And on the train, the last leg of my train Monday as I was inbound, there was a French bulldog. Now, instantly, I know more about bulldogs now because not only does my neighbor have a French bulldog that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. She's crazy, though. She loves Penny. But Jay has a bulldog, not a French bulldog, but an English bulldog, right? So I'm big into bulldogs now. So this bulldog, poor thing, was a little stressed about being on the train. So he had picked her up. She was sitting in his lap. She was the whole time. And because she was kind of splayed out in his lap, I could tell that the dog had either just had puppies or was about to have puppies. If you don't know the biology behind that, I'll just encourage you to look up a YouTube video. But it was very obvious that the dog was either about to give birth or had just given birth. So I asked the man about the dog, and he said they were going to the vet. I was like, oh, she's beautiful. How many puppies? He said 3. Then he said, I love French bulldogs. In fact, I love them so much that I cloned one.
Excuse me? Like a...
Exactly. I thought he was joking. I thought that he, I must have heard him wrong. And I said, you did? And he said, yes.
An evil scientist?
He said, I had her, I think he said it was her grandfather, or I think he said it was her grandfather. And I loved that dog so much. Oh, I mentioned that Penny was 13 and that I couldn't bring her on the train anymore. So he mentioned to me that he had a previously had owned a 14-year-old French bulldog. And he loved this French bulldog so much that before this dog passed away, he cloned him. He said to me, Google it. Clone French bulldog.
No,
and you'll see it. Okay. So I did. He was very nice. I get to work, I Google it. Not only was he telling the truth, but he's a celebrity hairdresser. This man's famous. His name is Roberto Novo, and he's the hairdresser to Britney Spears and to Alec Baldwin, which is weird that men have celebrity hairdressers. But he's got a whole family of French bulldogs. Guess how much it costs for him to clone his French bulldog.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where you would go. What do you go to the vet and say, hey, excuse me, I want to clone my... Where do you go?
Not the vet.
I have no idea where you'd even start. I would guess in upwards of $2 million.
Oh my gosh, no, Jay.
To clone? I didn't know you could just go clone your dog.
$50,000. $50,000. But the reason it's a big deal is because he was the first to do it. So Roberto Novo, before the coronavirus lockdown, decided that he would shell out 50 grand to clone his beloved French bulldog, Machito. And it actually did produce a brand new puppy. And it arrived the day it arrived. Isn't that crazy?
Where
the dog arrived.
Like, well, it's just like a 3D printer. I don't understand what's going on
here. No, it's an actual dog. It's just
is it the same dog.
Well, it is. It's got the same DNA.
So the dog's just immortal now. What the hell? We got hologram Harry Carries. We got dogs being cloned. What is going on?
Oh my gosh. So anyway, he cloned the dog. Here's what happens. It's called Viagen Pets. It's a Texas company. The company requires two skin samples to collect the DNA. And then most of the skin samples are taken from the belly or the inside of a pet's leg. They're packed in ice. They're sent to a lab where they're placed in an incubator and the cells start to grow. Within 2 to 4 weeks, there are millions of cells. The cells are harvested and placed in vials frozen in liquid nitrogen. Then a donor egg is taken from another animal.
What animal?
I don't know. I'm assuming another dog, but I don't know. The egg and the cell are fused together in our patented cloning process. Essentially, the egg is tricked into thinking it's been fertilized by a sperm. The embryo is planted into a surrogate, so there has to be another dog, obviously, to carry the egg. The dog gives birth to puppies, and they are genetically identical to the original dog. The first two times they tried it, it failed.
So let's do it again.
Machito, T-W-O, not Machito, Machito, T-W-O, was born the day that the original died. Anyway, this is the quote from Roberto Novo. Machito was always there for me. I knew when he was gone, I would suffer. Cloning him was the best thing I ever did. He said this dog was like a son to him. There are photos. There are photos of his cloned dog. Could you imagine? Forget the money. Cloning your dog. I love Penny, but there are so many dogs out there. I'll find another one that needs a good home. He cloned his French bulldog.
I'm lost for words.
And I sat across from him on the train. How crazy is that?
Did you pet it?
I did pet his dog, yes.
What did it feel like? Was it like mushy or was it like...
This was a different... So he has four French bulldogs. This was the mama.
Is it all the same one?
No.
You didn't clone it four times?
This was the...
Is that 50 grand a pop for those first two times it didn't work? I have so many questions.
Well, maybe you need to reach out
to... I gotta run into him. I gotta go take the path.
Or Roberto Novo. Can you believe that I actually talked to this guy on the train? And then I got to pet. I got to pet his sweet dog. Love it. I mean, the dog was, she was very sweet. And she was getting ready to pop out three puppies.
The normal way, or are they going to clone
them? I didn't ask whether or not they were more clones. I should have.
They're all clones now.
This is the Clone War.
This is the beginning of the Clone War.
You and I love Star Wars and the Clone War, period. That's what we're in right now. Isn't that crazy?
Man, this is a danger. This is dangerous grounds.
He was the first one ever to do it and have some actual dog spawn from the clone route.
This company in Texas, do they have a ton of business now after him, after the first success? Or
would you like
just
to do a research project?
I might have
to. Okay, you do that and you report back.
What's the name again?
Would you clone Moose Chunk?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it'd be safe.
He does make some very unique noises, and boy, does he love his air condition.
Yes, he does.
And his kiddie pool. All right. So anyway, that was quite a revelation
bizarre.
To me. It was very bizarre, but yet that was my experience on the train. And the sweet dog, she had no idea. She was
a
just
clone.
happy as a clam. I don't know, because I never saw Machito, but
you think they have thoughts?
The dogs?
The clones. Like, how do you I'm all right. I don't know.
Wow. I don't know either. I don't have the answers to all your questions, but I like your curiosity. So I say write a research paper on it.
About to go to this factory and
give him a piece of your mind.
I don't just observe. Fly on the wall.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Wilson avoids the rush. Wilson using those legs, and he'll make that move. Diving just short of midfield, the pressure from Teron Jackson and Wilson limping at the end of this play.
Wow. You know,
8-yard pickup, and Wilson goes down.
With Amy Lawrence.
Ian Eagle on CBS, man, scary moment. And I felt terrible for Zach Wilson because initially the Jets did believe that he had torn his ACL in their opening preseason game. In fact, head coach Robert Saleh actually talked to Adam Schefter and told him that was the fear. That's what Schefter tweeted. I just got off the phone with Robert Saleh. He told me the Jets fear that Zach Wilson has torn his ACL. But come to find out, after an MRI, it was a bone bruise and then a torn meniscus. The surgery was done on Tuesday, and there were no surprises. According to the reports, he is expected to be back with the team within a month, though they are going to take every precaution with their second-year QB. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had a chance to catch up with former Steelers defensive back and now football analyst Bryant McFadden. He joined me on Maggie and Perloff, and he had been at Jets camp, so I wanted you to hear what he had to say about not just the Jets, but also the Steelers, who are in a quarterback competition, and then the Deshaun Watson situation in that same AFC North division. I started out by asking him, with the Wilson injury, what does the offense look like right now?
Well, today the defense won. The defense, let's start with the guys in the trenches, the defensive front for the Jets. They got depth, they got athleticism, they got guys who can get home, you know what I mean, collapse the pocket, and they were able to do so today. And that's going to be a huge emphasis offensive line-wise for the New York Jets, knowing that Zach Wilson will miss some time, right? We don't know exactly how much time he will miss, but he will miss some time, and now you rely on Joe Flacco, who has experience, but he's not as athletic or mobile as a Zach Wilson is, and he won't be able to buy the extra time that they may need. So today we saw the defensive front. They dominated. They collapsed the pocket. They made Joe Flacco just tuck the football and just got sacked. If it was a real game, he was sacked quite a few times. So that's where a guy like Dwayne Brown comes into play. You know, they just signed him knowing that Becton will miss the entire season. He's an experienced guy, been to some Pro Bowls. He knows what it means to be reliable and consistent on the offensive line. Today he didn't practice, but they're hoping that he'd be able to get on the grass with the guys either today, tomorrow or the next day. But he's going to be critical with the offensive line play.
Well, let's transition to Pittsburgh. That's your former franchise, and they have a real quarterback competition for the first time since Ben Roethlisberger. So we're going back 18 years. And before you say anything, I want to get your thoughts, but this is your former head coach, Mike Tomlin, his assessment of the three QBs.
They moved their units.
They moved. I can't even say it with a straight face. They moved their units. All right. Is Tomlin always that good? Is he always that unique?
No question. That's why he's one of the best to do it.
Yes.
Right now, currently in the National Football League, he has a way with words. Mike Tomlinisms is what I call them. he knows how to motivate you, and he knows how to say the right things.
He does.
And that's a unique trait from great coaches. They know how to verbally motivate you.
I got
to
tell you.
They don't have to put on a film. They don't have to put on a song. They can talk to you, and they have you ready to run through a brick wall. And that's who Mike T is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather listen to him talk than any other coach in the NFL, so I agree with that. Right, I saw on your Twitter, Bryant, that you believe in Mitch, as you phrased it, in Mitch we trust. Why Trubisky?
Because Trubisky, throughout his time as a starting quarterback for Chicago, it wasn't a well-structured situation offensively.
So nice
the coaching, the
yes.
play calling wasn't ideal. But Trubisky got them to the playoffs in 1 year, and he finished his starting tenure in Chicago with an above 500 record, 26-21. So understanding and knowing that, if you look at the structure that's in place, the staff, right, the personnel, Trubisky is in a better situation now in Pittsburgh than he was in Chicago, and he still won ball games for Chicago.
Same division, the Cleveland Browns. Their situation is so up in the air, Bryant. We finally got an apology of sorts from Deshaun Watson. Whether or not he knew the questions ahead of time, he certainly knew what was coming. It was fairly limited, but he did apologize to all the women that he impacted and talked about the poor decisions that he made. What did you hear from Deshaun?
Wow. I heard a man who sounded like he was remorseful. He's ready to move on. He's ready to move on. He's ready to get on with his professional career. He's ready to get on with his situation league-wise and get back to playing football. But he still have a few hurdles he has to get over before all of that can happen. And, you know, for his sake, hopefully he gets an opportunity to get over those hurdles sooner than later and get back to playing football for the Cleveland Browns.
What happens inside a locker room when you have that much uncertainty at the most impactful position on a football field? They don't actually know who their quarterback is going to be or when he might be back.
And that's why you prepare for Jacoby Brissett. I think you know, prepare for the worst, expect the best. But when you prepare for the worst, you're not surprised when everything is finally said and done. So me personally, if you're part of the organization, you got to go into each week, each day, with the understanding that Jacoby Brissett is going to be our quarterback.
Bryant McFadden, and he's on CBS Sports HQ. He's got the podcast with Patrick Peterson called All Things Covered, former Steelers defensive back, and he calls them Mike Tomlinisms. But interesting perspective from Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Jets camp, also why he believes in Mitch Trubisky, though that may be temporary. And then his reaction to Deshaun Watson's apology. If you want my reaction to his apology, there's a clip up from Maggie and Perloff on Monday on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. You've got inside of a half hour to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So either my Twitter or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. I don't know, Jay, you might have to make up some questions about cloning dogs and see where that takes us.
Would you clone a dog?
I wouldn't spend that kind of money to clone a dog. I love my dog so much, but there are so many pets out there that need homes. I can't imagine spending. I know. I understand why we get so attached to our pets. That's a lot of money.
But like the first two times it failed, like is that 50 grand gone? 50 grand gone? Oh, like let me try one more time, another 50,000 to clone my dog.
Well,
like,
Jay,
just at that point, get a new dog.
I'm sure you've heard of in vitro fertilization, right?
Yes.
That's what humans do. A lot of times it's not cloning, but that costs a lot of money. And there are couples and families who do it more than one time so that they
That's different than cloning your dog.
Well, it is different, yes. But in terms of the money, if it's really important to you, you're going to keep going until you try, right? No, you can't. What?
I'm not comparing those two things.
No, I'm just, my point is that if you believe, he said this dog was like his son. So in his mind.
I can't. I'm not justifying that.
I'm not justifying it either. I'm telling you what he said. I just told you I wouldn't ever spend that kind of money to do something like that.
But. I'm happy the man had his money to clone his dog.
Oh, yes. He's famous, his too. His son, Machito and Machito. Okay, coming up, little at least I didn't say the wrong show. A little QB news because we're heading into week two of the NFL preseason. Or should we do QB news next hour? I haven't talked about Fernando Tatis yet. Okay, let's pivot. Let's talk about Fernando Tatis a little bit because his dad, as well as a new Hall of Famer, David Ortiz, are blasting Major League Baseball for what they believe is the mishandling of the investigation and the suspension.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Very disappointed. It's, you know, the second time we've been disappointed with him, and it's just, you know, we hope he grows up and, you know, learns from this and learns that it's not just, you know, it's about more than just him right now.
I think it stunned everybody, but, you know, it was better than finding out during the game and then having that go out through the dugout. So, you know, AJ made the right call, even though we found out late, talked to the team right before we went out on the field.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure the last time I've heard a group of players, a team, a locker room, a clubhouse speak out so strongly against one of its own. No, I think that the disappointment Mike Clevenger expresses about Fernando Tatis Jr. and what Bob Melvin had to say about trying to help the team navigate through this, it's said from a place of, he's one of our guys. He's still a Padre. And he has a no trade clause for the next 12 and a half seasons. Fernando Tatis has definitely put himself in a precarious position, though. A slippery slope. This is different than the Deshaun Watson situation in a couple of ways. Because we're not hearing any of the Browns say anything even remotely negative about Deshaun Watson. Maybe they've been instructed not to do so. Or maybe in the NFL, it can be different. Maybe they don't think it's a big deal. I don't want to speak for them. I'm just saying, across the board, the Browns who've spoken publicly have all been very supportive of Deshaun. And trying to keep it focused on football. In the case of Fernando Tatis, the initial reaction from his own teammates is disappointment, mistrust, bringing up past mistakes, lack of maturity. And I would say the most telling comments are the ones from Mike Clevenger and Manny Machado and others about how they're winning without him, and they have everything they need in their clubhouse already. If that doesn't send a message to the 23-year-old, I don't know what does. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You've got a couple minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you want to send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. And producer Jay we'll field your questions at the top of the hour. In the Dominican Republic on Monday, that's where Fernando Tatis is right now, his dad went on a radio show called The Midday Show. And in Espanol, he blasted baseball for its mishandling of his son's investigation as well as his suspension. He said that it's a travesty for baseball to tarnish and destroy his son's reputation over something as minor as this medication for ringworm. Now, I'm sure there have been a lot of jokes, even among those of you who are listening, about ringworm and the medication for ringworm and the fact that there were a couple letters difference, this ingredient that's an anabolic steroid versus something that's used in medication for ringworm, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've seen a lot of the jokes already. And so I get it. It's an easy target. But if you dig a little deeper and know the details, this is not baseball's fault. It's not the fault of anyone except for Fernando Tatis Jr., for the Padres shortstop himself. But yeah, his dad blasted baseball and said this is something so insignificant. All of baseball loses because my son is suspended for 80 games. He actually believes millions, maybe he doesn't believe it, but he said it, millions of viewers will tune out. Millions of fans will stop paying attention to baseball because his son is suspended for 80 games. And maybe there are millions in the Dominican Republic that will be upset about his suspension. The story is this. He used a medication that's not sold in the United States. It's only sold in the Dominican, or it's sold in the Dominican, but not in the U.S. to treat ringworm. There is a photo, if you care to look up his mom's Instagram page. There's a photo on the side of his neck of what appears to be a ringworm mark. And he used this medication that includes an anabolic steroid, one that he tested positive for and has now been suspended 80 games for. He's not the first baseball player to get suspended for this same substance. Do you remember D. Gordon, when D. Gordon got suspended? This is what he popped positive for. Also, it's not a newly banned substance. It's one that's been on baseball's banned substance list going back to 2003 at the start of its drug testing program. Close to ball, and I may not be saying it right, it's a derivative of testosterone, which is used in many PEDs, right? That's kind of the point a lot of times, is to boost your levels. It's also banned by WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency. And as I say, multiple players before Fernando Tatis have been suspended for this same thing. And so the substance itself, it's one that you could find on any list. Either Fernando Tatis did not read the label. Apparently, it's on the label of this medication for ringworm. He either didn't read the label or he didn't know it was a banned substance. Either way, he's got no one else to blame. No one else to blame. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You are the one who's got a $340 million contract over 14 years. You are the one who is a recent all-star. You are the one who's supposed to be the face of your franchise. You are the one who got on a motorcycle in December, had an accident, broke your wrist, and didn't have the surgery until March. And I get it. These guys have people around him. I'm sure he has a lot of advisors, his dad probably being one of them. Ultimately, though, you're the one that is responsible for your own career. I know he's 23. He's young. These are tough lessons to learn. But for his dad to blame Major League Baseball is wrong. I appreciate what Alex Rodriguez had to say. If anybody can understand how damaging this can be to a player and his reputation, it's A-Rod.
I have no regrets, no excuses for my behavior. It is on me. And look, we'll talk about the Tatis thing later. I wish that a lot of these young players who I admire so much learned from my stupidity and my debacle. Mm-hmm. And it almost brings me to tears to see a kid like Tatis, who's 23 years old, that for the rest of his career, he's just going to play it out. There's probably no Hall of Fame. I'm not going to go to the Hall of Fame probably because of my own mistake. Mm-hmm. And that's heartbreaking for me. It's heartbreaking to explain that to my daughters, but that's on me. So I get to be now, hopefully, a better friend, a better business person, more importantly, a better father.
Alex Rodriguez is owning it on the K-Cast on ESPN with Derek Jeter and Michael Kay. So two things. It is a tough lesson for Tatis. What's tougher, though, is that his teammates are not on his side. Remember how the Dodgers didn't want to see Trevor Bauer in their clubhouse again, and he's never been back with them? These teammates could make life really difficult, could make San Diego an untenable situation for him. He better get his act together. But also, baseball can't play favorites with superstars because that creates an illusion of cheating or lack of integrity. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.